Let's make this place your own. That's what we do here at Rosie on the House. Talking about the large surge that we're seeing in second home acquisitions, we're talking our way through some of the options of how you might accomplish that second home. You know, there were an awful lot of structures built by fraternity brothers and cases of beer on weekends in the 50s and the 60s, all through northern Arizona. That's how cabins got built back then. You just dragged your fraternity brothers up there and fed them and gave them beverages and refreshments and told them what to do and scrapped together whatever material you could, and you threw the cabin up. Well, there are easier ways to get it done, and you probably protect your friendships.
And the permitting and rules and regulations of today, you know, are a lot more stringent. You were talking about the price difference of manufactured home versus a site-built home. And a big reason for that is, one, you know, you don't have nearly the excavation cost or the concrete cost. You know, when you're putting a manufactured home in, you know, sometimes it's on stilts, sometimes they do a stem wall, but you don't have a complete concrete pad poured in, so you don't have any of that underground plumbing. And the amount of trades, you know, a manufactured home's all put together in one spot. You're not bringing the concrete guy out. You're not bringing the framer out, the plumber out, the AC guy, the amount of travel and labor time to come to that one site-built home, you know, that's a lot of your cost right there is just pure labor.
It is, absolutely. Just the commute time of getting to that one particular site by the 130 individuals that are going to be involved in putting that house together. So you've got manufactured housing, then you've got modular housing. Now, you know, some of the earlier pioneers in modular housing were Dale Webb and John F. Long. I can remember in the 60s, you'd go out to those subdivisions and they would be delivering whole wall panels and just standing them up and bolting them down to the concrete floor. John F. Long ended up being the brilliant man that he was, and I'm not being facetious, that man was brilliant. He opted to go into complete masonry. All his homes were masonry. Smart man, a very smart man. And those were some of the best built starter homes you could ever possibly want.
And they're still around, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they are solid, solid bones buildings. And he made them affordable. Dale Webb, that's how he started Sun City, modular homes. You build the components in a covered arena that's air-conditioned space. None of the wood's getting wet, rained on, sunburned, twisted, dried out. It all gets put in place to the 16th of an inch, assembled, and drop ship. People ask me, are they built well? I just want to ask you something. Do you think you could pick your house up, put it on the back of a trailer, and drive it down the road and think it's going to hold together? It won't, I promise you. Let's see if we can get to Ken real quick before we go to the bottom of the hour break and see if we answer Ken's question at Ken's home. Good morning, Ken.
Hi, Rosie. Good morning. Real quick, I'm having my roof redone, and I was thinking about attic ventilation. Would a ridge vent here in Phoenix area be a good thing to do?
Yeah, any type of passive attic ventilation will be fine. A ridge vent is great. I love them.
Hot air rises. You put a slit across the very peak of the ridge. Make sure you've got a couple intakes around the...
That's the key.
Around the base where the wall and the roof come together. And, it's... When you go to Taliesin West, they've got on their tour one specific spot that they stop, and it's got this slope in the way it's angled, and it was for passive air conditioning because
yes.
Hot air rises. So even on days when it was still, you could go catch a little breeze right here in this one spot, out of the sun because of the way he had designed it for to catch that rising air movement.
Absolutely. Now, Ken, what we tell people is never power ventilate your attic, ever. Never. Even if it's a solar-powered power ventilator, don't do it. Never suck air out of your attic. But your ridge vent, passive ventilation, make sure you've got good import intake vents around the bird blocking or gable vents on the end, and you're going to be in great shape. You'll be glad you did it. And I appreciate the call.
Yeah, there's no...
I fight this there's with no engineers way, all the time.
There's no way you get enough intake into the attic to make up for that. What happens when you put those fans on is it's got to draw air from somewhere. And eventually, once you've got the negative pressure in the attic, it starts coming from inside the house. So around your lights and your ceiling fans and every spot there's a penetration.
Bathroom fart fans.
It's sucking air-conditioned air out of your house. And throwing it up above your roof line. So it's not a wise idea. The concept is you think it makes sense, but physically, functionally, not a good investment.
Think passive.